The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you, Susan, for doing the children's sermon both services. I was just so disappointed not to have the opportunity to open the box and see maybe a Pittsburgh Steeler thing inside. Let us pray. Holy God, may all that we do and all that we say and the people that we are bring glory to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, we've been having a sermon series based on the readings of 1 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which he helped form. Paul hadn't been there for several years, but he was learning that they are a church in the midst of many struggles, lots of divisions. This letter is his response. In it, he addresses many issues because anything that threatens to divide a congregation threatens its spiritual well-being, like the lights going down. We know that very well today in the ELCA with the sexuality issue. The early Christians in Corinth were dividing among themselves in terms of who they wanted to follow in leadership, and Paul addressed that. But last week, Pastor Mensah spoke about something else that can be divisive within the church, and that is the systems of thinking people use to make sense out of their lives. You could say to justify their existence before God. And he spoke of four views, and just very briefly, the first one, the Orthodox view, was a strict interpretation of doctrine. Naturally, legalism comes out of this. And one of the ways we see it in the Lutheran Church is the belief that we must have Holy Communion every week. So those in the Orthodox view can see themselves as the most devout, the most faithful. The second, the rational or more liberal view, where people make observations about their world, they form different ideas, they think about them, they evaluate them, they make decisions, and they're free to change their minds based on new information. Of course, they see themselves as the most enlightened. And the third group are the pietists, who believe faith needs to be expressed by a heartfelt, sincere, passionate experience of people serving others hands-on. And let there be light. I'm in the enlightened group. This group feels, this other group now, feels that they are the most authentic, sincere, and genuine. and this kind of and that this kind of service to others justifies them before God. But Pastor Mentzer told of a fourth view. Its center is not on your faithfulness. It's not on your enlightened ways or your service to others. Its center is Jesus Christ and the cross. And what can be an offensive message of the cross is simply this: I have nothing. I can bring nothing. I can do nothing. There is nothing about me that justifies me or my life before God. Rather, I am justified or brought into a right relationship with God by what God has done in Christ's death on the cross for me. That and that alone saves me and saves you. That and that alone changes us, gives us new life. It is at the heart, this belief is at the heart of the Reformation. It's at the heart of Paul's message. It's at the heart of being a Lutheran. It's at the heart of our celebration of Holy Communion. We come to this altar rail with an empty hand to receive bread and an empty cup to receive wine. So, why is this foolishness to some and life-giving to others? What's the difference? Well, very simply, those who believe in Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord do so through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The hidden wisdom of God, which is Christ Jesus crucified, bringing about a new world order, is something that needs to be revealed. We cannot learn this on our own. Something that needs to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. And as this, it is in God's nature, the ability to believe this is also a gift to us. A gift of faithfulness, a gift of faith, which we also receive as a gift of the Holy Spirit. A little later, in the same letter, you can see the words, no one can say, Jesus is Lord. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So, in the light of this text, this portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, let's look at the Holy Spirit in three different ways. The Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel, gives us spiritual gifts, and keeps us in the faith. If that sounds familiar to anybody, that's wonderful, because that's directly out of Luther's catechism from your confirmation days, those of you who went through confirmation. Martin Luther used this very section of Scripture, the last several verses of what we read today, to form these words about the Holy Spirit. We cannot believe in Jesus Christ through our own understanding or strength. We cannot believe in Jesus Christ through our own understanding or strength. Instead, the Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel, gives us spiritual gifts, and keeps us in the faith. The Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel. Paul is a wonderful example of this. He was someone who thought he was doing everything right, orthodox in his belief, defender of one God. We believe in only one God. He had no compassion whatsoever for people, new believers, who were believing this man, Jesus, was being held up as God. These fanatics needed to be killed, and you'll remember that he actually held the robes of Stephen while he was stoned to death. Then something very personal, very astounding, happened to Paul, then Saul. Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. A few days later, you know the story, he was filled. He became filled with the Holy Spirit. His world turned, and I like to say it like this, his world turned right side up. He went from orthodox, rigid beliefs the faith of his ancestors, to what was considered by many then and even now the foolish belief in the justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I like the phrase calls us because it resonates in our technology in the world that we're living in now. We are literally, most of us, getting calls all the time. For everyone who has a cell phone, I think it's hysterical to walk up and down the streets of the city and you see more people on a phone than not. People are on the phone everywhere. But it's not only cell phones or iPods. It's text messages. And I don't do them very well. Actually, I decide to call the person because I'm very, very slow. Some people are faster than the speed of lightning. But there's text messages now. You open up the cell phone and there you can read what somebody has texted you. We think we're very, very smart, and we are in many, many ways. But I want to suggest to you that God beat us to the punch on this text messaging kind of thing long ago when the Word of God began to be put down, to be written, that God's life-giving, vibrant text messages became the Word of God for us to absorb, for us to read. Paul definitely had a dramatic call from Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But there are many, many ways to be called. Those who go on mission trips are impacted mightily by them. I remember one of my twin sons, have a life-changing experience on a mission trip. And I believe those who go on them here, the same applies. It is another thing to go into another culture and be with people who live so vastly different. And they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can be called through a remembrance in your own life of a seed that may have been planted years ago and you feel now that it's just being watered. Perhaps it's somebody who said to you, wow, you're really a good teacher. Or I love the way you sing. Or you really have a heart for those who are sick. Or you ever think about going into medicine? Different ways calls come to us. Sometimes the call comes in the form of a biblical passage, a new way to define something, like a religious ritual. And I noticed that happened today in the text from the Old Testament in Isaiah, where it talked about people fasting outwardly. You know, people knew they were fasting, but at the same time, they were oppressing workers who worked for them. The same time, God called them to a new definition of fasting. Do you remember? It said things like this. Fasting is giving shelter to the homeless. Fasting is offering food to the hungry. And I learned that that's not even quite the best translation of the Hebrew, that it's better, pour yourself out for the hungry. Meaning, if you give yourself for the sake of the other, you will find your true self. I think that's a text message worth meditating upon. More than that, you could argue that that in itself is a call from the Holy Spirit. Last Friday, I had the opportunity again to be in a baptismal class for men in prison who are going to be baptized next Sunday, the 13th. And they came at different points in their lives, some young, some older, some regretting that they were doing it at a time when their family couldn't be with them, others wondering why it was so late in their life that they did this. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this text kept coming into my mind and assuring them, this is your time. This is the time that the Holy Spirit ordained for you to become a new creation, a child of God. So the Word speaks in many, many different situations. The Holy Spirit calls us through the gospel at the Holy Spirit's choosing, any time, any place, any age. The Holy Spirit also gives us spiritual gifts. Everything we need to function as a believer, as a Christian, is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Paul discusses that much later in the letter. But for now, For now, he is writing to help them understand how the Holy Spirit helps them understand the wisdom of God is Christ crucified. And he gives an analogy. He says, in essence, only I can know the thoughts that I'm thinking. The same for you. Only you can know the thoughts that you're thinking. You can't know my thoughts. I can't know your thoughts unless we reveal them to each other. My thoughts are between me and my own inner spirit. Similarly, only God knows God's thoughts. It's between God and God's own spirit. But God chooses to reveal God's thoughts to us through the Holy Spirit, who lives and dwells inside of us. It's a mind-boggling concept, isn't it, that we can know inside of us the mind of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So I can understand the cross as God's wisdom and God's power because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside and revealing that to me and to you, whether through prayer or through worship, even through silence or through text messages of the Bible. You and I can be assured that what is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit is contrary to what is revealed and what we experience in our day-to-day living in this world. One could really make a case that says that we are wise and powerful if we have all A's. And by that I mean if we're attractive, the world says, if we achieve a lot, the world says, if we have abundance, the world says. That's the world's wisdom. Now, I really don't want to take anyone's fun away from watching the Super Bowl later today. I really, really do like football. And I know the Packers are playing, but does anybody know the team that's playing against the Packers? He's sitting way in the back. I want to use that as a contrast, because it is fun to watch the Super Bowl. I'm not taking that away. I want to show that as a contrast between the ways of the world and the ways of God. Do you know that most of the guys, 200 plus 300 pounders, that are going to be taking the field this afternoon make over $1 million? The total payroll for the Steelers last year was $119 million. The total payroll for the Packers was $114 million. Both teams have median salaries in the $800,000 range. You can hardly think of anybody losing that's playing that game today, right? And we heard last week, I think it was last week, that there was a CEO who got just $9 million as a bonus. We were almost, I think, expected to feel badly because it was only a couple years ago that he got $70 million as a bonus. The ways of the world, don't you think? They're so contrary to the ways of God. And yet the Holy Spirit gives us the ability, another A, to discern the difference between what seems so important to the world and God's ways. Remember the verse, if you have two coats, give one to someone in need. It is in the wisdom of God made known to us by the Holy Spirit that we do realize the most powerful weapon ever made to defeat sin and death were two pieces of wood put together as a cross on which God's Son died. The Holy Spirit calls us, gives us spiritual gifts, and finally keeps us in the faith. I think there's good reason to believe that Paul interrupted this letter from the subject of divisiveness because he wanted them to know what unites them, what centers them, God's wisdom in Christ crucified, and their mission because of that. And I think it's pertinent that we all turn to the second page of our bulletin and look at the mission that we have for Trinity Lutheran Church. To me, it's just a wonderful summary of this portion of the letter to Paul, and I'd like for us to read it together. Page 2, here we go. Under constraint of the gospel, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Holy Trinity is for all members to bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. It's almost like we looked at 1 Corinthians and decided to write the mission statement, empowered by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. You might find this an odd thing to hear, but I believe, even with this economy and the world mess that we're in, that this is a wonderful time to be church. It's a wonderful time for the church to stand up and to stand out in contrast to the ways of the world, to hire instead of lay off, to persevere in giving, trusting in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, generosity, kindness, and compassion, to provide, as Susan said, for desks and chairs for children in Sierra Leone, to provide for struggling families among us and in our communities and in the world, for uplifting each other and for encouraging each other, and for praying for peace and helping to make that happen. The Holy Spirit truly is text messaging us all the time. And I ask that you be open to receiving these messages, to accepting them in God's power and in God's wisdom. I do think that we as Lutherans have a good dose of fear of the Holy Spirit, afraid that the Holy Spirit might knock us off our feet. I pray that it does. Amen.
together.